Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
Nope, but we are two friends who do like to talk a lot about serums.
We do. And if you want links to all the serums and other things that we talk about, you may visit our website, forever35podcast.com. For all those links to everything we mentioned on the show, you can follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod and on Instagram at Forever35Podcast. And you can join the Forever 35 Facebook group, where the password is serums. And we do also have a subreddit for those of you who may want to get the heck off Facebook, which, I mean, frankly, don't we all?
We're all headed that way, right?
We are. It's at reddit.com/r/Forever35.
Now, look, we live for our voicemails, texts, and emails from you. So here's how you can reach out to us, 781-591-0390. That is our voicemail number, which you can also text, message, and I will do my best to reply. Our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And we deeply, greatly, immensely appreciate any review. I would say any positive review you leave us on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show, and we are so grateful for that. So thank you for that.
Look, we respect your right to leave a negative review.
It is okay if you don't like us.
But do we appreciate it? No. Look, we welcome all feedback.
We do. We do. And you know what? I will say, I feel like we have a really great relationship with our listeners where they really check us on stuff and give us really helpful feedback on things.
Totally.
It's really, it's like a very amazing relationship that we have with you. So thank you for that. Thank you for like taking the time to like call us on stuff or check in about stuff or even just like write and say hi. That's really nice. So thanks.
Basically, we're lonely. We'll take anything.
Basically, we are. We're so lonely.
Just call us, okay?
Please. Look, we need human contact. We need anything. Oh my God, do we ever though, Dori? I mean, this is a hard time. And it's not to say that we haven't had human I think we've oftentimes made it sound like we've just like sealed ourselves in bunkers.
Yeah.
Which we have not. We have human contact, but I think this is a lonely time for everybody, whether or not you are, you know, working directly with people or whether you may be, you know, more isolated. It freaking sucks.
It sucks. Really does. It just sucks. That's all there is to it.
The end.
And like we knew that the holiday time was going to feel shitty and suck. And in fact, it's feeling shitty and it sucks.
It really is. And, We see you because we're feeling it too, you know, no matter what. There's such a wide swath of situations one could be in.
It's true.
It's not like we're all experiencing all of them, but I do think they all are hard. And it's just, I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. Well, I'll tell you where to begin, where I'm beginning. I'm just rubbing shit all over my face.
Go on.
I mean, I did want to share some happy news. I mean, I guess selfishly, it's happy for me. But you may recall on this show, I was talking about how I wanted to basically like slather my face in an occlusive ointment and lock in all the moisture and like put a shield on my skin.
Kate, I do remember this.
And I received so many great suggestions and I tried a bunch of them. You know, Weleda Skin Food was a very popular one. Vanna Cream was a very popular one. Obviously, a variety of CeraVe products, of course. But I'll tell you, I've landed on something. And
I'm listening.
And I'm really into it. I'm really into it. And that is a little product probably no one's ever heard of called Aquaphor.
Tell me about this obscure product that you, Kate Spencer, have discovered.
I am the first to discover Aquaphor. Look, Dory, it has petroleum in it. So it's similar to my other beloved product of Vaseline. But Vaseline is just 100% petroleum, which makes it 100% occlusive. Mm-hmm. I did a little Googling. Aquaphor is 41% occlusive and it has humectants in it. So it also, while it locks in, it also has a little bit of moisturizing elements. It has glycerin in it. It also has lanolin, which comes from sheared sheep. So I want to just flag that for anyone who doesn't want to use wax from sheep shears. But I will say, I got this. I have kept it on my bedside table, and sometimes I put it on my little dry, like under eye cheek area where I get. I can't remember if it's dry or dehydrated. I know those are two different things in the skin world. But other times I put it on my entire freaking face.
Wow, look at you.
This is what's happening over here. Without my human contact, I'm just rubbing Aquaphor. And I have a little tiny tube. It was, I think, about $5.99 that I got via a Target order. Ordering some bins. And then I was why don't I throw in? I always do this. Do you do this where... You know, like you're ordering something practical, like you need toilet paper, you need a bin, you need soap. Then you're like, I'll go over to the skincare section and just give myself a little goodie.
Yes. Although I will say I spend less when I order online than when I do like from a Target than when I go into the store.
Oh, forget it. When you go into the store, I'm like, time to experiment with eyeliners.
It's like all bets are off.
It is. It's a free for all.
So I hear you that like it's so easy to just buy a frivolous item when you're shopping online, but I do think that ultimately it's better for me at Target specifically.
Target is a tantalizing siren.
It really is.
But I tried. I have Weleda Skin Food. I have tried that as kind of a nighttime lotion, and I think what I was looking for is something with occlusive properties to really kind of go over the skin to kind of lock everything in. And Aquaphor, it also doesn't feel too heavy, too sticky. It actually feels really nice going on. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, my skin feels nice. I don't have like a face print on the pillow of where the Aquaphor was. So I want to give this product like two thumbs up. I am really enjoying my relationship with Aquaphor.
Well, I'm really happy for you guys. Sounds like your relationship's going really well.
It is. We've moved in. We're one of those like really intense quarantine relationships where we moved in together.
You're exclusive. Yeah.
We are.
I mean, I'm just really happy for you. You know, I was talking about occlusives last night because Henry has some redness around his mouth. And his nanny had put some moisturizer on it. And I was like, oh, you know, we should try putting he has this Honest Company balm.
I've tried that.
That is very occlusive. And I was like, we should put that on it because it's occlusive.
Don't you love using that word?
Yes. And I actually think it really helped when he woke up this morning. It was definitely much less red. So.
Occlusive might be like my favorite. You know how there are words that you hate to use? Like I really hate.
Yes, I do.
I hate the word panties.
Yes, yes. Moist panties.
Moist panties. Gross, but occlusive. Yeah. Just,
It just rolls off the tongue.
It just feels good on those teeth. Yeah.
It does.
So, in other exciting skincare news, you have a new product that you tried.
I do. And, you know, as we've discussed many times, I find the products I like and I stick to them. I'm not a big skincare experimenter, it turns out, which is perhaps a liability for someone with a podcast where you discuss skincare. But anyway, I decided, you know what? I have heard so many people talk about this Shani Darden Retinol Reform that I just need to try it. And the recent Sephora sale made me take the plunge. So I did buy it. Shani Darden is like a celebrity facialist here in Los Angeles who has, did I just say Los Angeles? Here in Los Angeles, who also has a skincare line that is, I would call it, it's expensive, not ridiculously expensive. It's not one of those like $400 creams types of celebrity facialist skincare lines. But it is pricey. It is $88, which is a lot. Anyway, so I bought it and I used it for the first time last night. It is a retinol and it also has, it does have lactic acid. So it has 2.2% encapsulated retinol, which is like a solid amount of encapsulated retinol from what I understand. And then the lactic acid is also very exfoliating. So you're supposed to start with this 1 to 2 times a week. I did it for the first time last night. I will say I woke up this morning and my skin felt dry. But to be fair, it has been feeling dry lately anyway. So I don't know if I can like fully blame the retinol reform.
I mean, this is also, is this the first time you've used a retinol product?
Oh, no. I've been using Stratia Night Shift.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice
pretty
product.
Much every night. But that is a very gentle retinol. I believe that is only 0.15% retinol.
I feel like we have a solution here, which is to put your retinol on and then your moisturizer and then some Aquaphor. I mean, truly.
Well, I was thinking that the next time I use it, I have a bunch of oils, facial oils lying around. And I think maybe I'll use one of those and kind of seal everything in.
Mm. I love the sealing of the face.
Yeah. So, I think I'm going to give it another few weeks. I'm going to use it 1 to 2 times per week, and I'll just see how it goes.
And can I ask you, did you put it everywhere, or did you, I mean, like, I try not to do the more, like, sensitive, thin parts of my skin.
When I do under your eyes?
Under my eyes is, like, a big one for me. But I do try to do, like, the, you know, like, the meatier parts, like my forehead, my cheeks, really getting in there, the chin.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I put it everywhere except under my eyes and like my eyelids.
And are you dry everywhere is what I was curious about.
Like on my face?
Yeah. Is it, or are there certain spots where you're more dry?
No, my whole face felt dry this morning.
Okay.
So what I did this morning, I usually use kind of a lighter moisturizer in the morning. But this morning I put on the Milk and Honey Intense Hydration Cream, which I love and which I usually use at night. It is a thick cream. But I was like, my skin needs this. Drink it up, baby.
I really like how you talk to your skin.
Well, that's my skin talking to me.
Oh, that's your skin talking. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
The retinol I use is the SkinCeuticals retinol cream, but I'm only using the 0.3. So mine is much lower because that Shani Darden has 2.2 retinol.
Yeah, that is a lot of retinol right there.
Plus lactic acid.
Yes, plus lactic acid.
So what I've been doing is I do this retinol one night, and then I do a glycolic acid serum the other night. I just go back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's where I'm at right now in the serums.
All right. Well, you know, hey, if it works for you, I'm happy for you.
I don't even know if it does, but I just do it. Just like, well,
oh God,
something's got to give. Here we go.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Well, should we take a little break?
Yes, because we've got an interview for you when we come back.
We do. One for the books.
We interviewed Tunde Oyenayin, Peloton instructor extraordinaire. Dory and I are both obsessed with.
We are.
She was just amazing to talk to. We were both kind of dorking out in a delightful way. So
she's extremely cool.
Started her career as a makeup artist.
Yep.
I mean, she's just done it all.
And now she's like a star Peloton instructor. She's really cool. So yeah,
super
even
inspiring.
If you are not a Peloton person, I think you'll enjoy this interview.
Agreed. All right. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. Our guest today is Tunde Oyinane. Tunde, welcome to Forever 35. We are so, so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
I'm just going to read your bio and then we're going to get into it because we have a lot to talk about. A Texas native of Nigerian descent, Tunde is an elite Peloton instructor whose mission on and off the bike is to create great change and inspire, lift up, connect, motivate, and stand for good. Tunde began her career as a professional makeup artist and brand educator for some of the top cosmetic brands in the industry. And after taking her first cycling class, she discovered a passion for fitness and a desire to bring her knack for coaching others to the bike. She recently launched Speak, an Instagram Live series, which highlights the experiences and voices of those dealing with adversity and provides tools and guidance to living a life of acceptance, love, and equality. And we are just so, so thrilled to have you on the show. So thank you again
for
being here.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Yeah.
We are two Peloton, I don't want to say junkies, dorks, sorry, would you say?
Well, then I am sorry for everything that I do to you on the bike. I mean, so much nicer in real life. I'm a sweetheart.
Oh, boy. You bust our asses on this bike. We should, if you've never taken a Peloton class with Tunde, we should just say you motivate, you inspire, but also you force a lot of work.
Yes.
I love kicking asses. It's one of my favorite things to do. So thank you for that. I appreciate the compliment.
You really do. I mean, I know if I'm taking one of your classes, I'm like, okay, I'm going to work hard today. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. But here is an important question. Your hair and makeup when you're working out is completely flawless. So we need to know everything about it. What is the secret to getting your red lipstick to stay on and to stay so shiny during a ride? What are your lipstick colors? Tell us your secrets, Tunde.
Can I also ask, like, what is the makeup situation like knowing you're going into such an intense physical activity, but also on camera? Is it different than just everyday makeup?
Well, you know, well, first of all, thank you so much for the compliment. But I always say, like, it's like also I'm on camera. And so sometimes, like, the eyeliner that is melting down my face doesn't quite read on camera. And then I go into the dressing room after class and I realize just how crazy I look. But for the most part, it's just, you know, I was a makeup artist. Keep saying was, but I guess I still am. Like, the skill doesn't go away. But I've been a makeup artist for 16 years. And I have just been privy to some of the best kept backstage secrets, if you will. So, like, a lot of the products that I use, I work with products that are high quality or waterproof, that are sure to stay in place. And, you know, just like knowing things, just trial and error of knowing what will read well on camera, versus what won't. It's so funny because sometimes if I'm going to work, the doorman in my building will look at me because they all know that I work for Peloton, and I look like it's like a Saturday night and I'm going to the club because, like, face is beat, ready and on. And then you look and you see me on camera and it's like, yeah, maybe she's got lipstick on. Maybe she did her brows. So just like knowing to kind of beef things up because, the camera and the lights, will eat up so much. So I tend to go, a little bit more colorful with the blush, a little bit more colorful with the lipstick, just so that it'll pick up and read. Same thing goes with my outfits. I'm known for wearing like brighter shoes or even brighter colors on the bike as well as off the bike. But that's just knowing, what will play well to the camera. And then the fact that I have my hair in braids, I feel like that's kind of cheating because it makes life a lot easier. But you know, if you've taken a Tabata ride or a HIIT ride with me, like if my bun makes it halfway through the class without falling out, then the class wasn't hard enough. So you can usually judge if you fast forward to the end of the class, you can judge how hard the class was based on if my bun is still in place or not.
Ooh, I love that. What is your actual lipstick though? The bright red that you wear?
You know what? I change it up a lot and I get that question so much, but I am such a mixologist when it comes to lipsticks. I swear one day I'll create my own, but it's just like, I am such a mixologist of mixing, like Cody Rigsby once, Cody Rigsby was what he was outside of the dressing room once watching me get ready. And I didn't realize that he was like watching me. I thought we were having a conversation, but then I find out and that he was watching me. And he's like, Junde, I've been sitting here wondering when this madness was going to end. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, how many things are you going to put on one lip? And I told him, I was like, I am just creating the perfect color. And one day I will come out with a perfect color. So that's really, really it. So when I have the appropriate answer for that question, I promise you guys will be the first to hear it.
What is then your skincare practice for not just removing makeup, but like sweat? I mean, you are a fitness instructor, so you're always on the go. I'm assuming you're always sweating when you are working. Do you have a favorite cleanser that you like to use, or any like ride or die skincare faves that you love?
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because people always ask me like, what makeup do they recommend for the bike? And the truth, I don't recommend it. I mean, I wear makeup. I always say I wear makeup because I'm on TV. But if I'm at home just working on my own, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But if you feel compelled, do you? But I will say that I'm a big proponent of like the second that I get off the bike, I am, you know, looking for the fastest way to remove the buildup and the dirt from my skin. So to your point, I usually do like a double cleanse. So I'll use face wipes. I go back and forth with my face wipes. Currently, I'm on the Oil of Olay face wipe, Oil of Olay Regenerist face wipes. And then in terms of cleansers, I kind of vary it up. I mix up and I use a couple of different products depending on what the weather is like, because the weather, as we know, can affect our skin. So if I'm drier versus oilier, like I'm by virtue, I have very oily skin, but I do tend to get a bit dehydrated. Either A, when I'm not drinking enough water, or B, when I'm sweating and again, like not putting enough water back in my skin. So my skin gets a little flakier. But on a day to day, I'm a big fan of the Caudalie Purifying Cleanser. I also use Dr. Strum as a product that I just got on recently. There's a vitamin C wash that I love. I use a lot of products from Malin Getz. They've got a skincare, hair care, body care line. And then there's a product from SkinCeuticals. It's called the CE Ferulic, and that's like a nighttime product. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily cleansing. I don't know if you've used it. Or sorry, not CE Ferulic, the Resveratrol BE. I use the CE Ferulic, but that's like for, it's a vitamin C. But the Resveratrol BE, I swear by that product. It's an anti-aging cream. And I'm kind of like leaning to this place right now where I'm like, don't love that word anymore, anti-aging, because it's like, why not age though, really?
Yeah. But
rather than saying anti-aging, I think I'm just going to say like age gracefully cream. My age gracefully cream is, you know, I'm 30, I'll be 35 now in a month and a half. And I'm just like, you know, it is what it is, but I love it saying my age. I'm happy about it. Like, I'm just going to age gracefully. So my age gracefully cream is the Resveratrol BE from SkinCeuticals. It's awesome. I swear by it.
I appreciate you saying that about aging. That's a topic that we get into a lot on the podcast as women in our early 40s. You know, it's so great to get to age, but also like there is a lot of messaging that comes along with it that can be very challenging to digest sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And I think as women, like we're taught like from a very young age that, how do I say this? Like almost we're supposed to maintain ourselves in a certain way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, I think Meryl Streep, I think maybe like 10 or 15 years ago, I watched something where she talked about her age and she spoke to like the beauty in getting older, like the beauty in like, you know, not just getting older, but like showing it and wearing it well, and not being afraid of it. And so, yeah, I just kind of lived by that. And again, I'm 35, I'm talking like I'm 95, but you know, I think this is like the age where I see so many people, you know, around me. I think this is the age where your body starts to change. Like, the way that I eat versus the way that I ate 5 years ago. Like just different things are changing. My body is changing as I age. My skin is changing. My face, I swear my face shape changes every day. And so I'm just kind of coming to this place that I like, rather than fighting it, I'm just like accepting all, I'll say like all the beautiful phases of Tomb Day. I feel like I change and I continue to change. I'm just accepting all the many phases that I am.
That's really beautiful. I wish. I mean, I think that's meaningful for a lot of people.
And how did fitness go from this thing you were pursuing for pleasure and joy and your physical and mental well-being to your career?
You know, that's a tough one. I got to a place where, you know, working out was no longer a chore or a task. It became something that I wanted to do. And I always tell people when they're saying, you know, how do I start working out? How do I, you know, what should I do? Find a workout that you like to do, something that you want to show up for. And then it doesn't feel like something you have to do anymore. And it feels like it's something you want to show up for. And so for me, I like, it got to a place where I was at work and I was thinking about like, oh God, I can't wait to get home to work out. Or, you know, I was at work and I'm texting my girlfriends like, hey, can you make it to such and such class tonight? Like, just like so eager and so excited to get there to that great feeling. And I, like I said, I was a makeup artist for you know, 15, 16 years before I came to Peloton. And I became a makeup artist because I enjoy making people feel good. I enjoy gifting people with confidence. I think because I went so much of my life without having high confidence. And so now that I've found it and continue to work at building it, it's something that I love to be able to give people that gift of confidence. And, you know, I fell in love with working out. I realized it was something I wanted to do. And, you know, there came a point where I wanted to be able to give people the same joy that I received from working out that I wanted to give them.
Can you talk about the actual process of becoming a Peloton instructor? Like, I assume you had to audition.
Yeah, well, I mean, my process was really crazy. Again, I can write a novel on that. All in all, it was about a year from my very first audition / interview to, you know, hearing that I got the job. You know, our president, William Lynch, told me, and this is like the final stages of my interview, but he said that my position they'd been looking to fill for 2.5 years and, you know, literally auditioning, interviewing daily. And he said that finding a Peloton instructor, he likened it to what he imagined it would be to find someone that would to be a backup dancer for Michael Jackson. You know, there's just so much that goes into it. There's 34 instructors. And I think that we, number one, I would say that we're all like, I think actually it was Sam Yeo, one of our cycling instructors in the UK. He said the Peloton instructors are all like Avengers. Like everybody's got their super, you know, gift, their super talent. We are all uniquely different. And Peloton celebrates that we are also uniquely different. But we are so all the same in just like, you know, in our being. Like, I think that you, when you take a class, you see one person leading the class. What people don't realize, and people being members or people on the other side of the camera don't realize, is that there are so many people that go into crafting just that one 5, 10, 15, 20, 45, 60 minute class that you see before you. And so it takes someone who's able to then check their ego, you know, like you, it's not just you that brings something to the table. So you've got to, you know, find people that are able to be in the spotlight, but then yet sit at a round table. And I say round because everybody's equal in making decisions. You know, I think there's just so many things that play into it. Like there might be somebody who's physically adept, but then somebody who might freeze on camera. So you've got to find somebody who's got really a balance of both traits. And so I like, you know, it's just, I'm so honored. I'm so lucky to be on this elite team. I work alongside people that are the best, like the industry's best. at what they do. And so, you know, I learn from my teammates each and every single day. It's really an honor. And I say that I'm a Peloton instructor. It's like a badge that I wear with such great honor.
When you said that he was trying to fill your position for 2.5 years, what was the position he was trying to fill?
2-day Oyunane cycling instructor. He was looking for me. He was looking for me, honey.
We have a lot of Peloton, I would say riders, but also people who use the app, people who are just learning about it, listening to the show, including, you know, both Dory and I are also, right now my husband is in the other room doing a Peloton workout. So that's how.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
He like came into my garage where I am, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to work out. And I was like, I am literally talking to Tunde right now. So leave me alone. But
so fun. Okay, so now he's got to come in by the end of this and like let us know what class he just took.
He might have been doing a boot camp. But I think one thing that we are all kind of curious about, if you are a Peloton fan or user, is how does it all come together? Like, how do you plan a class? Who is involved? How do you decide on the music? Do you practice beforehand? Do you pick the theme? Do you have people helping you? What is going on behind the scenes that your fans would not know just from watching your class?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got a whole team of content techs, producers, camera men/women that are really behind the scenes, like bringing the full show to production. I mean, when you think of a play or a musical, you see the ballerina, you see the dancer, but behind the dancer, you've got somebody who's managing the lights, somebody who's managing the stage, the sound. And so, you know, just to give you a little bit of context, when I say that there's so many people that work tirelessly behind the scenes to really bring everything full circle. Everybody's got a position that they play, and it's like I happen to play the person that's the motivator and the coach and the one that's kicking your ass on camera. But off camera, there's just, again, there's a team of people that do a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know how to do. And so we truly are all equals when it comes to creating the show that is.
Do you write yourself a script before rides? Like, how do you kind of plan? Do you plan out what you're going to say on each ride?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got the music planned ahead of time. I've got the programming in terms of how hard we want to go. I was going to say how hard or not, but it's, you know, let's be honest, it's always hard. So planning how hard I want to go. And then, yeah, I might have bullet points in terms of, I won't even say necessarily that's true. I think that there's a certain amount of planning, and then there's a certain amount of like just trust. Like, you're just in the moment, and you may have intended to make one moment a moment, but another moment ends up actually happening to be the moment. I think everybody's structure is different in terms of how planned or not planned you are. Everything's planned in terms of you want to be prepared. But I think, you know, I'm one that just tends to just try to trust my own gut and my own intuition. And I think that's something that's definitely flourished and grown over the last year and a half. I mean, I look back at like my first month, 2 months, 3-4 months of classes, and being that it is live, being that you are on camera, you want to make sure that you're saying the right thing and, you know, not saying the wrong thing. And then at some point, being on what I always like to call live TV, for 365 mm-hmm. days all the time, sometimes multiple times a day, you start to just learn to trust your gut. And I trust that whatever I say is the right thing to say, or, you know, I trust myself, enough to trust myself.
Mm. The speak up ride that you did in June is so powerful. And for people who have not taken this ride or don't know what it is, you interviewed other Black employees at Peloton and cut together their quotes with your own truth and an amazing playlist. And this was in the wake of George Floyd's murder and the movement, the social unrest and movement that came forth from that. And I would love to know how that ride came together and what it meant for you to be able to bring your voice to this movement and also do it to an audience of people who were riding along with you and moving along with your words. I mean, it was really poignant. I've never done anything like that when it comes to physical fitness. And, you know, it was written up in the New York Times. I mean, it really made a massive impression.
Yeah. As you said, the Speak Up ride was just after the murder of George Floyd. And I think not only as a Peloton community or a nation, but as the world, I think we all felt lost, I guess, just lost in emotions, lost in unrest, lost in not knowing, not understanding. And I wanted to do something. I didn't know what that something was. My chief content officer, Jen Cotter, called me one morning around like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And she said, do you want to do a ride? And without asking any questions and without even understanding what that was, I said, yes. And I think we both intended for it to be just like something I taught that night. And then, you know, the thought came, why don't we hold off and do this in 2 days? And for 2 or 3 days. So for 48 to 72 hours, you know, I didn't sleep, and it's crazy because I didn't sleep, and it wasn't like I was fatigued and tired. I didn't sleep, and I was just on momentum, and I was just on, I keep using the word purpose, but I think it was that ride was so within purpose that thoughts were coming to me. And I you know, I was actually talking to Alex Toussaint about this, but typically I will have thoughts. I think any of us, like you're laying in bed and you'll have a thought and you tell yourself, oh, shut up thought, like go back to sleep. And I remember during that 72 hours, I'd be laying in bed and, you know, around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, a thought would come to me. And rather than trying to quiet or silence the noise and silence the thoughts in my head, I'd get up and I'd just start writing for hours into the morning, just writing everything down. And the thought came to me to interview my Black colleagues, specifically those that were behind the scenes. And I say that because Peloton is this vessel. It's this thing that so many people love so much. It's the thing that gets so many people through their days. And, you know, going back to talking about the people that work behind the scenes, we have so many Black employees at Peloton. And so I thought that there was something powerful in sharing the stories of those Black employees that bring the gift of Peloton to so many every day. And so I interviewed, I asked questions, I researched, I looked up quotes, and then I started to map out moments that I wanted to create within the ride. And then I married those moments to the perfect song to tell the perfect story. So it was almost like preparation coupled with trust. So I went into it incredibly prepared. And then just before I hit the podium that day, I told myself that I trusted myself. I told myself that whatever you say will be the right thing to say. So I prepared and I prepared and I prepared. And then I allowed myself to unlearn or to forget everything and just trust that the right words would come out. And, you know, earlier I referenced that like flash of blue light that had come over me 4 years earlier when I had that vision that I wanted to be, or that I would be a cycling instructor. And it's wild. After I taught that ride that day, I said to myself, I didn't know how people were going to react. I said, people are either going to accept that and hear what I said and understand that my words came with love. My words came out of me with a hope for change, and not to attack, but to allow people to understand and hear stories through those Black voices. And I knew that people would either understand that or it would be the complete opposite. And people would take my words somehow and take my words and somehow misconstrue them as hate, which is obviously what I didn't want, but I accepted that that was a possibility. I knew that going into the ride. And so if you remember, after the Speak Up ride, Chelsea Jackson Roberts followed with a Breathe In, Speak Up meditation, which the meditation picked up with where I'd left off the ride. And so I never lay down on the podium. There's sweat on the podium. But that day, I had my phone. Chelsea was in the studio next door to me teaching her meditation. So I was watching her live on my phone, laying down on the podium. And mind you, there's lights. The podium is elevated, so I'm on a stage. There's lights because there's cameras all around in the studio. I'm listening to her meditation for 5 minutes. My eyes are closed. When the meditation is over, I open my eyes. When I open my eyes, I see that blue light that I'd saw 4 years before in the vision. I saw the lights. I felt elevated on the podium. For me, in that moment, it was almost like that vision that I'd had 4 years ago and where I was in that present moment, it was almost like everything synced up. It was almost like that premonition that I had, I was there. I just taught a ride. Over 22,000 people took that ride live. To give you context, MGM holds 20,000 people. 22,000 people at that one moment in time had taken that ride live. And so it was like in that moment, I saw that where I was 4 years ago, 4 years earlier, I had predicted that moment. I saw that moment. And so I said to myself, before I walked out of that studio that day, I said, Tunde, people will either love that or people will hate that and they will hate you for it. Whatever comes when you walk through these doors, accept that it was supposed to be. That moment lining up to me allowed me to know that the universe had me. Like whatever was to come, once I walked through those doors, I knew that it was supposed to come. I trusted it. Whether it was love, whether it was understanding or hate, I knew that whatever was coming, whatever was waiting for me was divinely and accurately supposed to come. So I just trusted. Fast forward, we're in whatever month we're in, 2020. I can't keep up with the date anymore. I think it's October. I think that ride happened July 3rd. I think some 200,000 people have now taken that ride. I've received countless messages, emails, texts, DMs from people who said things like, Tunde, I found the term Black Lives Matter. I found that term incredibly offensive. I didn't understand it. After taking your ride, I understand it. And I'm with you. I had people that took my ride that said, took the second Speak Up ride, specifically in the second Speak Up ride, I didn't share voices of my colleagues, but rather I shared my own experience in the second ride. I had people on the second ride who said, Tunde, you've been at Peloton for over a year and I'm embarrassed to say that this is my first time riding with you, or rather I didn't ride with you until, you did the Speak Up ride. And I didn't ride with you because of the way that you look. And I looked at you and I judged you by a picture. And I assumed that because we look different, we wouldn't have anything in common. And, people not only DM'd me comments like that, but people posted it on their page. And at first reaction, at first thought, it's hurtful. It's hurtful because you think, wow, people didn't ride with me just because we look different. But after that initial reaction, I step back and I'm so proud. I'm so proud that that ride led them to that awareness, because the question that I then asked in the second ride is for the people who so vulnerably said that, the people who so vulnerably DM'd me, or the people that even went a step further and posted those comments on their own page. There's so much beauty in that, because I think that those moments of vulnerability are what will catapult us to the change that this world, this country needs. But the question that I asked to those people, the ones that said that they didn't take my class because of the way that I looked and because we looked so different, they didn't think that we would have anything in common. My class is a 20-minute commitment, 30-minute, maybe a 45-minute commitment. If you're unwilling to take my class or to commit 20 minutes to me based on the way that I look and our differences, where else in life are you unwilling to invest in someone that doesn't look like you? And this goes for people that are white, people that are black, people that are anything in between. Where else in your life are you unwilling to invest? Perhaps it's in hiring for a business corporation or your job. So I say that not to shame any of the voices or the people that said that, but rather to applaud them for that realization. And again, that vulnerability and speaking the truth. And I think the more of us that can have the audacity to dare to be that vulnerable, the more of us that step up to speak up and to do that, I think, again, I think the more apt we'll be to create the type of change that we need to.
So I have to ask, does it feel heavy to kind of have to be that person for so many people? How do you take care of yourself when you're giving so much of yourself to others?
That's a really great question. I can answer it either way. Does it feel heavy? Yes. But does it feel heavy? No. Does it feel heavy? Yes. It feels heavy, yeah, because I'm a human and I feel it. And people say really, really ugly, 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 hateful, hurtful, hurtful things. They do. People do. And it's funny because before this, I would say people DM'd me really ugly things. And now people leave it on in my comments. And I don't delete things. I leave it because I want people to see. I want people to see what human beings are capable of saying to other human beings. I want people to see what human beings are capable of saying to other human beings. And, you know, I try not to respond to the hate, and I do that intentionally. Sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't. I don't because people say really wonderful things to me every day. Like I said to my best friend a couple of months ago, I said, God, like this life that I live is just so incredible. The things in the amount of, the amount of love that people, this community, the amount of love that this community gives me in 1 month. I don't know that most people receive that type of love from strangers in their lifetime. The amount of love that I get in 1 month from absolute strangers, I don't know that most people receive that in a lifetime. I'm abundantly blessed, abundantly. I am not able to thank all of those people because I would literally sit at like my computer on my phone all day saying thank you to people, right? And so I'm out living life. I can't sit in front of the phone or the computer and thank every single person that tells me thank you, although I see it and I feel the love. There's just not the bandwidth or the manpower, right? And so if I can't give the time to say thank you to all of the beautiful people that give me love, then why take a second away from that to invest in someone that is hating on me? So the heaviness is there because I see it and I see the horrible, hateful things. But like, there's also so much love that pours in. And so I feel like what I'm doing right now is ultimately, it's my purpose. And I think that when you are living in purpose, not on purpose, but when you are living within your life's purpose, when you are in your journey, on your journey, when you are on track, things don't feel as heavy because it's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, yeah, I feel it, but no, I don't. But yeah, I do. But no, I don't. It's tough. Like, I feel the heaviness, but I keep moving and I'm so okay with it because it also just feels right. It just feels necessary. It just feels in purpose.
And what are some of your self-care practices?
so many things. Like, I am so okay with doing nothing. Like there are days where I'm like off, and it's so funny because I'm like so bad at like planning and saying tune day that you're going to go away for a weekend and do da da. And also let's rewind and also say like I moved to New York and then 6 months later, 7 months later, the pandemic happened. And so I was like, I hit the ground running, like trying to like learn all things Peloton, that I was just like working. And then finally, when I started to catch my mojo, the city, you know, pretty much the world really, you know, has come to like this halt. And so I say all that to say, like, I'm still trying to just like learn New York and learn the city. And so it's hard to like plan to do something when you're not able to do something. But I say all that to say, like, I will have the day off and a girlfriend will text me at the end of the night, like, oh my God, what did you do with your day off? And I have to sit there and think, I'm like, I don't know what I did today. I don't think I did anything. But I am so okay with doing that. Like, I don't even watch TV. I just sit here with my candle and my music and I just lay around and then I'll like pick up a book. Then I'll like listen to a podcast. Then I like make out with my dog. and then I'll like put a face mask on and I will, I'm not kidding. I'll lay in the bathtub for an hour and get all prune like. And again, my candle is going this whole time. Music's going. My self-care is, this is a better answer. You can like cut all the other stuff out if you want to and just play this. But my self-care is not rushing myself. So I just leisurely walk my dog. I don't have a plan for when I'm coming back. I will get in the tub. I don't have a plan for when I'm getting out. I will lay. And I like to not be rushed. People always ask what my pet peeve is. Aside from smacking, I hate loud chewing. I hate loud chewing. There's a disorder. I can't remember the name of it, but I have that. I think I have that disorder. I've self-diagnosed myself and said that I have that disorder. Look it up. It's a real thing when people chew loud and you can't stand it. But so loud chewing is a pet peeve. And I hate when people waste my time. And I think that's why I'm like so intense in my classes, because I respect that people chose me for their 30 minutes that they had to themselves. And so I'm like, let's go. So I think because I'm such a let's go. I move fast. If you notice, I talk fast. I move fast. I talk fast. I walk fast. Everything I do is fast. And so my self-care is probably, I'd say, I slow down and I'm finally not on the clock.
I love that so much. That's perfect. And I think that's the perfect note to end on. Although I feel like we could talk to you for hours, although I don't want to waste your time. So we're going to wrap things up. Tunde, if people are interested in following you, learning more about you, where can they find you?
I am on Instagram at Tunde. That's like music tune, number two, and then Tunde. I am the worst. Like, I have a Facebook. It's a Peloton Tunde. Oh, your name Peloton Facebook. I'm horrible. I need to like be on Facebook more. And then I promised myself that I'm going to start Twitter this week. So it'll probably be Tunde. Oh, your name. I'm the worst, guys, with social media, but Instagram is the best way to find me. I've also got my Instagram speak series, speak IG series on Instagram as well. I've been really fortunate to have some really incredible guests on there, like Common, Venus Williams, Amory, Allison Felix, just to name a few. But Instagram is the best way to find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on Forever 35. We really, really, really enjoyed talking to you.
A dream come true. Truly.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, ladies. And again, I'm so sorry for all the things that happen in class. I'm nicer in real life.
If anything, I like can't wait to take your class tomorrow. This got me like extra energized for it. So I'm ready.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Do you now feel like if you do take a class on Peloton with Tunde that you're like, I know you?
Yeah. I mean, since we did the interview, I've taken a few classes with her and I've been like,
hey, it's my best friend.
It's my gal. Yeah, exactly.
I really loved getting to speak with her. I just find her so inspirational and cool.
She's so inspirational and cool. Like, legit cool.
Legit cool. Wow. That brings us to the intention area of this podcast.
It does. How are your holiday decorations going?
Oh, shit's getting real over here, Dory.
It is? Oh my gosh.
It is November.
But it
I said to my husband, I was like, please, like, I need this. I need to look like I love twinkle lights. I love coziness. I love candles. I love holiday music. I love the movies. I'm kind of into it. So I'm going to set up my Christmas tree tomorrow. I'm putting up lights today. I've ordered some decorations. Ooh. And I'm going to head up to our tiny little crawl space attic.
Ooh.
And get out more decorations. I don't know. I mean, why not? You know, why not?
Hey, I know. My husband also was like, we need to start Christmas early. And I was like, I'm on board.
It's
I'm
just
on board.
Now, Dory, do you follow Turtle Creek Lane on Instagram?
Oh, I sure do.
If anyone's not following Turtle Creek Lane, get into it. It's wild.
It is truly next level. I don't want to even say too much about it because I feel like people should be delightfully surprised.
Yes. But if you want to really see someone heightening things, go check out Turtle Creek Lane on Instagram.
Yeah. And I will also say, not that the two are equivalent, but Hanukkah does start, quote unquote, early this year.
Well, but Dory, you posted a meme on your Instagram that was like, don't ask your Jewish friends when Hanukkah starts because we don't know either.
I did. But as soon as I posted that, I was like, I need to find out when Hanukkah starts. So now I know.
What is the first day of Hanukkah?
So the first day of Hanukkah is December 11th.
Oh, that is early. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Are you going to also kind of get your menorah out?
Oh, hell yeah.
Right. Do you do Hanukkah decorations? Like any sort of...
No, not really. I have a Happy Hanukkah banner.
That counts.
I mean, Hanukkah is not really like a decorative holiday. I think it's just like people in America like do some decorations because it's like the holiday season, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hanukkah, a festive time.
A festival of lights.
indeed it is. What is your intention this week?
Okay. My intention this week. It's a very COVID-19 specific intention. And to think a year ago when we were making this podcast, this intention would have never even existed in my brain, but here it is. I'm organizing and cleaning masks.
Great. Well, it might have existed last year, but you would have been organizing your skincare masks.
That's right. And now
in fact, that probably was an intention.
It was. I did have a lot of sheet masks.
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, we just have like in our little entryway area, there's a bench and it's just like where everyone, there's like rejected masks that nobody likes. There's like, everyone has a hook, but like my kids never use the hook. So they're just masks on the floor. The masks definitely need to be washed. I haven't to go through the washing. Like I've bought new masks at Costco and like, I just, it's just this endless supply of masks. So I need to kind of like just determine which are the rejected masks. So we don't just have this like weird pile of masks that nobody liked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I need to figure out what's the next step for these, the life of these masks. Mm-hmm. Can I wash mm-hmm. them and give them to somebody else? Would that even be comfort? Like, I don't know. So I gotta do some work on the masks.
Okay. Okay.
How about you, my friend?
Well, so my intention this week was to get a head start on holiday shopping. I have not purchased anything, but I did get an idea for something that I might want to get Matt.
Oh, that's great.
I'm still debating because it's a little bit expensive. So I want to be sure that I really like that. I feel pretty confident about it, but I'm leaning towards it. I'm not going to say what it is, but I did find something. And is it a yacht?
Yeah. You're getting him a yacht.
Is that what you just asked?
Yeah. A yacht.
Well, I don't want to reveal what it is, you know.
That's a yes.
I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny.
It's a yacht.
But you'll be invited.
Thank you.
That's all I'll say.
me and Kendall Jenner will be on that yacht with you.
Oh, yes, you will. So this week, my intention is like pretty basic. I just want to figure out what we're doing for Thanksgiving, like meal-wise. Like, I think I might want to bake a pie.
Yum, 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 yum. What kind?
Well, mm-hmm. I love apple pie. Matt loves pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe I'll make one of each.
That sounds
good. I don't
so
know.
Good.
What else am I doing?
And it's just the three of you for Thanksgiving.
It's just the three of us. And one of us is a toddler.
Who's going to love pie?
Who will love pie? But has the attention span to sit at the table for probably about 7 minutes, maybe.
Anthony and I have been discussing our Thanksgiving menu. Let's maybe share some recipes.
Okay.
I have a really great green bean casserole recipe that I will share with you and with the listeners.
Ooh.
Which is not something I grew up eating on Thanksgiving. Like I never had a green bean casserole, but I found when we first started hosting, I found this amazing green bean casserole recipe. It's a William Sonoma recipe and it's so good.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
So I'll give that a share.
Please do.
Well, Dory, 'tis always a treat.
'Tis always a treat.
Until next time.
Indeed. We should also tell people that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dory Shafrir, and you, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Sam Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast, and we will talk to you all in a couple days.
Bye.
Bye.